The white ravens fly only from the citadel. They are larger than other ravens and more clever, bred to carry only the most important messages. This one came to tell us that the conclave has met. Consider the reports and measurements made by maesters all over the realm and declared this great summer done at last. 10 years, 2 turns, and 16 days it lasted. The longest summer in living memory.
Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Originally founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community. This is Season 10 of the White Book Podcast.
Think the old meta was summer?
I mean, Targaryen likes summer, right? So...
I mean, Targaryen is fine.
And stuff. I mean, wasn't the old meta pretty much all Targ? Okay, maybe not all Targ. But that was people's main hype until the very tail end when everyone started hyping Shadows.
Okay.
I mean, Targaryen, you know, the last part of 2019 and the beginning of 2020, I mean, Targ was the major force in the meta. I mean, I think that's pretty inarguable.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is what everybody was talking and planning for, whatever. Like, regardless of how everything else in the meta, like, positioned itself, they were all positioning it around Targ.
Fair enough. I think Shadows was nearly as big a force as the meta, but fair enough.
I mean, the shallow part of me says the finals match says Targaryen.
Fair.
But regardless, I mean, I'm not saying Shadow is not there.
I don't know. If second place Seth remembered that Penny was dead, who knows?
Not second place this time.
Because he forgot what the card did.
RTFC, I hear it's important. I rarely bother with it, but you know.
Wow. All right. Hi, I'm Aaron. One of you two has to talk.
It's a Midwest standoff.
I'm Roy.
I thought this week, I'm just going to wait Roy out. And then...
I had the same attitude.
Yeah, and it figures that we would decide to do it on the same week. I'm Will, of course. Welcome to the White Book.
We're reviewing a restricted list. You should probably stop listening.
Yeah, this is an actual Game of Thrones episode. We're throwing off our every other week schedule with props and slops so that we can talk about Thrones news while it's still hot, so to speak. Otherwise, it's dropping like nearly 2 weeks after the restricted list did. So let's tackle that now. We have our first big thing from the Conclave. Right. I mean, we had the elections, we had the community poll and stuff, but like, this is the first action the conclave has taken so far. And they've released an updated Joust restricted list. Only Joust. Not going to lie. A little bummed to not see Melee, but hopefully that is coming once, you know, people are allowed to play in person again. Whenever that is.
2022.
That sounds accurate at this speed. Sounds accurate. Oh, so the restricted list. I guess I'll just give a quick rundown of what it was, and then we can boil down what all changed, or how that impacts the meta, that is. But here's the short list. Nothing removed. Night's Watch gained Clytus and Three-Finger Hob. Greyjoy gained Nighttime Marauders. Targaryen gained Gifts for the Widow, Overwhelming Numbers, and Kotho. Tyrell, thank God, or maybe I should say thank the Seven, gained nothing. Still has the longest list, though. Lannister gained the Red Keep. Baratheon gained Solyse Baratheon, their first. Martell and Stark gained nothing. And Neutral gained Bribery, Kingdom of Shadows, Return to the Fields, and King in the North. Bingo. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 cards, a whole dozen at once. Is this bigger than any single edition that FFG ever did? I think it might be.
No, not the combo lists. Like, the combo list, they added roughly the same number of cards. Think of that first one where they hit Wonder Woman and Hyper Viper. There was a lot of cards added.
Actually, was that the very first restricted list?
No, I think it was the second. There was one very early one that tried to hit combo and failed utterly.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It was no, there was one that it hit combo and then the ladies cards came out. So I don't know. We can go back and look.
I don't actually care. That's a totally different leadership castle. So somehow this is among the biggest, but still not doing enough. Do we want to go card by card? How do you want?
I mean, I think we can probably go house by house, right? I don't know if it has to be individual card.
I think usually the best way to go is neutral card by card, and then house by house.
I like that we've totally given up on any semblance of professionalism. This used to be the kind of conversation we had in the chat days before, and now we're like middle of the episode, almost cursed. Sorry, Will. Let's just decide now on air.
Thank you for not making me have to edit that.
My wife shushed me, and it reminded me that I should be wary.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to chalk us not having that discussion up beforehand to the fact that time has very nearly lost all meaning for me, and I assume also for you guys at this point. I barely know what day of the week it is.
So it had, but every day on Google Classroom, I have to post an attendance assignment, and on that assignment, I post the day of the week and the date. So it's doing a really good job of reminding me when.
That's good. That's good. Okay, so like Roy said, then let's do houses in a chunk and neutral individually. Should we just start at the top and go from there?
Sure. I think,
sure.
The big criminal, Kingdom of Shadows.
Oh, first card. I'm looking at the actual PDF. Written in a different order on the article?
Well, instead of
that. Oh, they are.
Yeah, I'm
why don't okay, we can go by the article if you want.
Wait, why don't we take Kingdom? There's an article now? There wasn't. Okay.
Well, it's not an article. It's just like a short
post. Okay, either way. Why don't we take Kingdom and then the two cards that are on there because of
it? Sure.
Okay.
So, Kingdom of Shadows, Nighttime Marauders, and the Red Keep. This is supposed to rein in Shadows decks. I will spare my opinion for the moment. Does this do enough to rein in the sort of non-interactive? I think that's the main problem here. Not necessarily that they're the best, because they are very, very good, but that they don't allow interaction. This enough to rein that in for Shadows Deck? Let's go, Will.
I mean, I think it definitely forces some choices, right? They still definitely wanted some econ, depending on the house, but probably Lanny, right? And they definitely still loved econ, like trade routes. So if they still want access to the whole like swath of Shadows cards, I think this is a legit choice to force, especially because the small bit of income the Red Keep provides and the fact that it also powers trade routes is not inconsiderable. So you lose a little chunk there. Like, I don't think it's an insurmountable, but an incremental sort of downshift for them. Or they can swap agendas, possibly a banner, but then you are at least forcing like deck variety out into the game, right? By what particular wedge of Shadows cards or slice, however you want to look at that, that folks want to play with and abuse so that they can get access to some of this other stuff. I mean, I don't think it's like a fundamental reworking of the archetype, but it's enough that I'm okay with playing it for a little bit and seeing if it just kind of shakes the dust off, so to speak. I think it might.
I think that you to think about how effective this restrictive list was, particularly towards Kingdom of Shadows, you have to think about the implication of what their goals were. And it seems to me that the goal here was to allow just about every successful world's build to still exist in a playable, competitive, perhaps tier one, maybe tier 1.5, tier two form, but that it could be competitive. They were not trying to ban a deck out of the meta the way in which, for example, like Mace was banned out of the meta, Mace Wars was banned out of the meta, or Martell Wolf was banned out of the meta after it won Worlds. So from that approach, I think that this list is very successful because it does lower the power level and lower some of the uninteractive elements, like Nighttime Marauders, which, you know, for example, there was a game that for the Long Night, the California tournament that Glazer and I covered last weekend after we recorded this, I think it was one of the games with CT, where so that was with Mira, where we watched two Nighttime Marauders utterly destroy Tomas's hand and just allow the Kingdom of Shadows player, Redick, to just steal a game that Tomas had locked up through excellent play and resource management and really putting the player in, you know, the Kingdom of Shadows players in a rough spot. So like soft banning Nighttime Marauders, if you want to play Kingdom of Shadows, it will improve those play patterns. The question is it enough from the perspective of not wanting to make Kingdom of Shadows significantly less powerful, just less powerful to take a little bit of the heat out of the meta? Yeah, it's successful. I don't think it's enough. I think that the uninteractive things that people don't like are still there, and it's still creating the homogenous nature of where Kingdom of Shadows decks ended up at the beginning of this year, whether they're the like more tempo-y build that DC brought or the more hard control build that's becoming more and more popular in these online tournaments. You saw it at Dance, but you also saw Radic do really well at the Long Night. So whether it's those builds or not, there's still a core of like 14 Shadows cards that see really consistent play over and over and over again. It doesn't matter what the house card is. And this only takes away really one of those cards. And I don't think that that's really enough to change the play pattern.
That's only accounting for the Shadows cards. What about like ancillary support factors that you're not accounting
for? There's one Red Keep.
Depending on the build, there's Red Keep, there's trade routes, there's Flea Bottom.
Oh yeah, you take trade bounce from Bentley Bottom. But
so if FFG just printed another 10 gold card, so like,
well, I guess
losing trade routes is annoying, but like, if you can just run 2 10-gold cards anyway.
Those do at least give a benefit of some variety to your opponent or penalty to yourself. Like, theoretically speaking, they're...
Sure, but it's largely, you know, theoretical. But hang on. So, a lot of what's being missed here, I think Shadows is the best faith effort of the 4 decks that they hit. I think the effect on 2 of the other 3 is negligible, and 1 of the other 3 is highly debatable. But I think Kingdom of Shadows is genuinely a good faith effort. And it kills 2 Kingdom of Shadows lists. It kills the Martell Kingdom of Shadows, which badly needs Flea Bottom to work. That deck might just become Martell Lion and be fine. It remains to be seen. I tend to think not. That deck really wanted the extra control from the Shadow Priestess and Nighttime Marauders and such, because, well, it did. But Martell might have enough other control to get by without it. It depends. But a lot of that other control discarded itself or wanted up in the discard pile, and the Flea Bottom Shen. There might be a Martell line that still runs Flea Bottom. Because, you know, the Hound is a... That said, the Martell Shadows that were used to the Martell Shadows that Lennart was playing at Worlds is gone. It's no longer a deck that is in use. Tyrell Shadows also remained really good. It went top 16 at Vax Tournament, which Roy will tell me the name of. At Dance with Dragons. So that deck still Dance existed as long as it could link up Kingdom of Shadows and the Sparrows with Restricted Attachment, Unexpected Guile. That was going to be the case. Those two decks are dead. What isn't hit, really, is Lannister. Lannister will be weaker against some of the top. But the top decks only really beat it because they're running specific suite of plots to counter Lightning Shadow. That game that Tomas lost, he was running barring Exposed Duplicity and still lost. If anything without that kind of ridiculous plot or passive power, or potentially both, is going to suffer to Lightning Shadows. The other two Lightning Shadows decks, Kingdom is still perfectly fine. You just run the 2 gold plots, the agenda, and you can run Iron Throne at the new Iron Throne and Alchemist Guildhall in place of Red Keep and be just fine. Or Lanny HRD, which can run either Trade Routes if you want, or just keep Red Keep and be totally fine. It was barely worse to begin with. Are both still oppressive to the meta unless you're running specific counters. Again, I do recognize this is a good faith effort, but those decks still warp the meta. They still, if you want to compete with them, you still expect them to be part of the meta. And within a relatively short amount of time, as soon as there's high stakes tournaments, it will be in the meta. We'll have to plan for them.
But is it bad for there to be decks that you have to plan for?
No, it's bad for there to be decks you have to plan for that can only be planned for through specific plot. Like, if 2 to 3 of your plots in every deck have to either be Kingdom of Shadows or answers to Kingdom of Shadows, that's the problem. You get 7 plots. It creates a homogeneity? I don't know. Yeah. So it...
Homogeneity.
Whatever. Homogenousness? Let's pick a homogen form. But it creates that... homogenification of the meta of what decks can and need to do. And occasionally, like, a lot of what beat that deck before was a rush that was so fast nothing can stop it, right? That ran King plot and was, like, so unbelievably fast. That's gone. The other thing that potentially beat it, but didn't usually, was Targ Sea of Blood. Targ Sea of Blood was never particularly good against Lani Kingdom. Although, spoiler, I think this restricted list makes Targ Sea of Blood better against Lightning Kingdom or Lightning HRD than it used to be. The previous versions of the deck running 1 Put to the Torch. Put to the Torch is the problem card for those Lightning. Which meant if they didn't see the card that put Put to the Torch back in their deck, they would blow up one econ, but then be kind of stalled out trying to like win without much renown. They saw Khal Drogo, who still free, and trying to survive reset. Now that deck goes back up on Put to the Torches, and Lani Kingdom is not as good, but that's sort of the same push and pull we had before, right? Like, I don't know, that loses King Plop, but now it has Put to the Torch. We have the exact same push and pull between almost the exact same two decks.
I mean, not a bad theory. It's one I would like to see actually play out a little bit to see if, I mean, this may be moving us into later discussion for this restricted list, but to see then if things like the Targ Sea of Bloodmath against the rest of the field alters, which potentially alters that equation.
So Targ Sea of Blood is still, I think, one of the two or three best decks in the meta. They're a Womb of the World and a Khal Drogo. And a pod would totally solve this, because those cards don't need to be restricted necessarily outside of Sea of Blood, or you can just ban Sea of Blood. But any of those three would be fine, because, again, those cards are only particularly abusive in that deck. Targ Sea of Blood, if it's reined in, is reined in because of the restriction of King Plot and Stark not being hit, pushing Stark up. Because Stark has always had a decent matchup against Targ Sea of Blood, and now that they can potentially, basically, they can run the anti-Lenny plots, and they can run things like Winterfell and Bran and so on, stop Targ Sea of Blood, without having to worry about King Plot that turn where all their stuff gets blown up and they like eat clean. So with that, it is likely to be enough for Stark to join the top contenders and potentially even move up to number one. But Stark won solid.
So what you're telling me then is that shift, which you feel is likely, is just not enough for you. You want Tyrell back on top. And you know what? I can get behind that. I'm definitely all for Tyrell being back on top.
So I don't know if I, in a long time, super cared about cast balance. I care about meta diversity and change. To me, and this has always been my stance, you don't want decks to just look the same from season to season. Otherwise, it's just your job in the game is to go on ThronesDB, figure out what you like best, and get a couple of practices. I like metas that there's new things to discover and people have to try to figure things out, because otherwise you're just showing up for tournaments and never really think about the game. The game becomes more and more casual, especially without FFG support. I'm not sure if that's something the game can really afford to do. So,
well, sure, but I think there's a philosophical difference here in what this particular restricted list needed to set out to do. I don't think this first update from the Conclave needed to push, pull, shift the meta, give people a new field to experience and tinker with and figure out, like you want as kind of an end goal there. I think this specific restricted list needed to allow the Conclave to sort out their back-end process for creating one, coming to a consensus on their side, publishing it, where and how they're going to disseminate the info to people, how they're going to format it, like literally like down to how they're going to present it, put the PDF together, all that sort of stuff, and show the community at large that they have figured out processes and that work is being done, that we are not just in a holding pattern waiting for many months. And I think, personally, that this restricted list does all of those mechanical, like conclave mechanical things that it needed to do. And I don't blame them for having a conservative first outing on that front.
That's
so
where I disagree.
You're definitely
that's where I disagree.
Fair. Oh, go ahead. Because
there's a world where you don't invite me on the white book, right? And I'm still nameless throats player 32. it's true, right? Like, I'd be good, but I wouldn't be particularly notable or famous. Like, I'm good enough to potentially make a like team, but not good enough to like top it. Fine. Like, I've got a big mouth. Like, I'd be a fairly regular poster. If I saw this restricted list and that's the player I am, I'm like, I have no faith in these people. A lot, what they did was what I didn't like it when FFG did. And when there's new leadership, if you're happy with FFG, what they did makes you happy. If FFG always left you wanting, but and then what you see is a continuation of FFG, there's not much reason to feel like you should continue. And mind you, I don't believe this will be the Conclave's path going forward. I believe that there will be more, for me, appropriate changes going forward. But again, a lot of the reason that I believe that is because I'm on this podcast and I get to talk to people that are in the know. But like, without that, I would be like, well, they're just going to be super conservative forever. I didn't enjoy the world's meta, and I'm going to be stuck playing against Targaryen, Blood, and Lanny Shadows for the next 4 months, 6 months. And God knows I don't want to do that, so now I'm done.
I don't think there should be people with that opinion. Like, those people are either so new or casual, and it's astounding me the number of new players popping up in the Facebook group, and at which point they don't see, care, or know about that level of thinking. Or B, they should have the like logical wherewithal to realize the Conclave has to figure out the Conclave mechanical processes to make this stuff happen. Like, you have to have a playtest of that, so to speak. And this is that playtest.
So there's, well, no, those playtests happen. There are all these tournaments with various restricted lists that have been happening. The playtests exist.
No.
It just happened in the wild.
You are still, you're looking too far down the line. You're not looking at the bedrock, the Conclave mechanical, not the Game of Thrones mechanical issues.
So, Will, how am I put this? You're both right in this sense. I think that the Conclave needed to put in place procedures that they can create a restricted list, distribute a restricted list, all those technical things that they need to do. At the same time, though, they missed an opportunity to do more to show not just that they could produce a restricted list, but give a clearer vision about where they see the game going at a bigger picture. And that's where I'm on a big picture structural level, where I'm a little frustrated with this restricted list. I think that there's better restricted lists out there. You can watch the video Glazer and I did. We put a lot of work into coming up with our own restricted list. But like, just on a mechanical level, what I found disappointing about this was that there was no clue about really what direction the Conclave wanted to move in. And I hear everyone that made the argument you made or made the same thing. You know, we need to do something to clean this up, but we're also at a liminal point of view where, you know, it's not 2 months, it's 4 months since there's been an update to this metagame. There's the big unsolved open issue of what to do with the bin pack, that there's no clear answers to what direction that they're moving in with these things. And that's where I was disappointed by this restricted list, where I wanted a clearer statement. Even if this restricted list is more a mechanical update that is cleaning some things up with worlds, it can be as conservative as this one was, it can be more aggressive as other restricted lists have been. But whatever it ends up being, I wish that they had laid out more, well, these are the steps that we're going to go forward, and that this is the direction that we see. The philosophy that we are going to have with the game is going to be this. We are going to maintain something closer to FFG's attitude towards restricted lists. We're going to have aggressive restricted lists. We're going to have moderate restricted lists. We're going to do all the, like, I just wish that it had been more of a signal flare rather than simply
so
a,
much
a practice run. Because, you know, you only get to, you know, you only get to do your first restricted list once. And that's where I was disappointed. But that's not saying that this was not a good faith effort. And I appreciate all of the hard work that everybody who did to make this restricted list possible put into it. But that's just my honest feedback about it.
Yeah, no, I can definitely get behind you there as far as like this needed more with it, kind of on that expository note to really talk about how they got to this point and where we go from here. I know there was a push to get that kind of, hey, we really are doing something work out there to start with. But it might have been good to pause till they got the their poll results back and had a better feel for whether they were going to, you know, update the restricted list quarterly or whatever, so that they could have put out a whole article.
There shouldn't, like,
kind of road mapping that for the future. I think that would
help. Don't do it before you get survey results. If we can do a survey, but B, we voted for you. Like we said, you guys get to make this, guys and gals get to make this. I've got to stop using guys as a gender neutral. Get to make this decision. Like that's how this worked, right? It was you. Everyone involved posted their vision, and we said, okay, now vote amongst yourselves. Please make this decision. And then they were like, well, maybe we need more community feedback. But, like, we've known the game was going to be dead for about 8 months now. Like, and now it's just like, we voted these people to decide, and I know 95% of them, and I like the 95% I know, despite, you know, occasional squabbles, as the Thrones community is full of. But make decision. Like, make tough decisions. But they didn't. They didn't make tough decisions.
And yet they did. And you're decisions. Here on they the pointedly show saying,
didn't tell like us that. What their decision making was. They pointedly asked for the community, said, this is this is a temporary thing. This is us trying to show you that we did something. They pointedly said, like, if they had said, our goal is for the meta to remain similar, for these decks to exist going forward until they prove to you. Like, that is a decision. What they did was release what by their own posting suggests is a conservative thing meant to rein some things in for a little while. That's a decision, but it's a soft decision. It's a decision that doesn't show leadership to me. And I don't think that anyone in that group lacks leadership. I just want them to show it and own it.
I think I'm going to say just this much because I try to leave political stuff out of our show, but I will say that I think our stances on this particular matter may boil down to our like philosophical differences on that kind of front. We want different types of governance. And as evidenced by the like 370 comment or whatever it is, response on Facebook, there's a wide range on what kind of governance.
There's a wide range on what type. I don't believe there's a wide range on how definitive that governance should be. The wishy-washy nature of it is not the kind of governance I think any. I think people want like a solid vision, regardless of what type of vision they. I think that like that was the big controversy with the Niels thing. That's the controversy with a lot. People don't want this all to be wishy-washy. They don't want it to be yes, this, but then that. Yes, this, but then that. It's make a decision so we know what we're doing going forward so we can move forward. I also truly believe every...
You're saying you don't like that decision.
A decision. That, like, this, the decision is to say we have a temporary restricted list for a limited time while we figure things out. That's not a decision. That like, there's no vision.
All restricted lists are temporary until the next patch.
And I've argued multiple times that every restricted list should come with a date of next restricted. It should come with like, is this going to be the restricted list for the next month? Is this going to be a restricted list for the next 6 months? Like, these are hugely important things, right? And FFG to their credit, released a restricted list every 4 months, basically like clock. It wasn't like clockwork, Blazer.
That's a little bit of flattening the past to make your argument.
Game died, it was as soon as I guess the game didn't last long enough for it to be that long. That's fair. But within about 2-3 weeks, it was about 4 months. Almost every time. Like, we knew when a restricted list was due. It was the same season. Like, are we doing that? How long is this restricted list? Is this restricted list the vision going forward? These aren't, like, fundamentally unimportant questions, right? Like, if I'm, I don't know, I don't want to name a player, but like, random player who shows up for tournament X might make the cut, might make not, in that general area. Like, and I like this vision. Like, Derek Shoemaker, who's not the player, who's phenomenal, world champion, right? Loves this restricted. Loves it. Absolutely. Like, he's like, I don't like decks to die. I like decks to, like, change, and I really love the world meta, and I want to keep playing it. That is Derek's stance. He is more than welcome to that stance. But if the next restricted list is like, oh, by the way, here's pods, and we're going to completely shake up the meta, like, that wasn't forewarned, right? Like, when you do this, you're setting an expectation. You're setting an idea for what this is going to be, for how long this is going to be, and none of that happened.
I will definitely agree with both of you guys that more explanation was needed to go with this and more road mapping for the future. I can 100% agree with that.
Sure. Want to go to the next deck so we don't just keep beating this horse?
Yeah, exactly. We hit Lanny Shadows. We kind of hit on Targ Sea of Blood. What's up next?
I guess Night's Watch, Valerian Steel seems like it makes sense. 3 cards restricted from that deck. Clytus, Three-Fingered Hod, Return to the Field. Do we think that deck is significantly weaker?
Yeah.
So I did. This is, I think, not taking new data enough into account. Tomas's deck didn't need any of those 3 cards. It did not. Hob. It barely stopped. Hob was in the deck, but it barely stopped.
Well,
it just drew. It drew so much that Hob is almost never going off.
I mean, one of the things, like, I think, like, a play pattern, like, Hob is a huge must answer threat, right? And, like, one of the things about Hob that made the deck powerful is your opponent has to make so much effort that when Hob hits the table, that they've got to get rid of him somehow, or who runs around with the game, and that allows forces them to spend resources that they can't do to answer your seasoned woodman play.
We watched 4 Tomas games, right? Hob was answered in one of them, and important.
Ran away with the game in one.
Yeah, ran away with the game. He had both. In both of those, he had 2 of the guy who draws a million cards. The put attachment up guy. Like,
but we saw him not draw cards so that he could draw with Hob. Right? We remember we were wondering, like, right, why didn't he draw a card there?
Yes,
like,
so he got, but that means he got ultimately 1 extra card, right? Like, so, yeah, so great. He got one, that's literally what that means. He got 1 extra card those couple times. That's not negligible. That's not nothing. But the deck works literally completely fine without Hob. I spoke to Tomas. He might keep Hob, he might keep Yorin. Like, it doesn't, neither of those are why the deck works. The deck still works just fine. I would personally think you keep Yorin, but you could just keep Hob and be fine. The sheer card advantage and the efficiency of cards, like, the deck was consistently with Hob drawing at best 2 or 3 extra cards in 3 of those games, hitting 20 or less of 75 cards. Like, I think that deck is totally fine. I think that deck is likely more than totally fine because its predators were weakened a little bit and it's real, real good against Star.
No, I don't think you're wrong there, but I don't know. Again, maybe for Tomas, that this is like a really, like, he will be able to see it. But I think for us plebs in the world, I think losing Free Fingered Hob is a big hit to the deck.
But you don't,
it's definitely, like I said before, well, I personally cannot imagine playing this deck without running three Yorins. Like, Yorin is
a card.
Is a card that is, don't leave home without him, particularly since Baratheon was not hit very hard, as we'll get to in a second, right? Like, and particularly if Stark, it becomes the big thing. Yorin is super good against Stark. Like, what can Stark can't interact with Yorin.
That's fair. I think it draws incredibly well, no matter what. I think that not only does the agenda draw, it's still got, without any other changes, six draw cards in the deck. Seven, because it runs ten. Seven other draw cards in the deck that are all multiple draw cards. They're not like single draw. Plus, there's very little reason that it can't run the three or four other Night's Watch draw cards that it doesn't currently run, because it already has too much goddamn draw.
I don't think that. I think the Night's Watch deck is still probably tier 1.5. I don't see how it's as good as the Stark decks and the Baratheon decks that will still exist. And maybe the Targ State of Blood that will still exist in this meta from this list. I still think it's a good deck, and like I would play it at a tournament and feel okay, but I don't think it would be, it's not as good as it was before. In a significant way.
I think it is likely the best deck in the meta coming up. I think that not running Return opens up some extra space that it can run more Lani Shadows Answers. And it got a pretty good matchup because just running three wall, right? Like, Lani Shadows isn't a bad matchup.
Lani Shadows won't have the red keep anymore, so he can't beat the wall.
Yeah, I think Targ Sea of Blood is significantly weaker. And that was, again, not a particularly good matchup for Targ Sea of Blood in the first place, right? Like, you could just go so wide, they couldn't do a whole lot, as we found in our testing. I think Stark the jumper stuff that was giving it trouble is less impactful. The Stark matchup has never been particularly bad against Stark as the Wicked Dragon of the Wall. Which means that it's bar or nothing, because the other thing I don't think this does is push anything else up enough to make it deep. I hope I'm wrong on that. Like, but it's hard for me to see any Martell decks with Libby T1 after this. It's hard for me to see any Tyrell. We know what the Stark deck is. The other Night's Watch builds, the other accidental impact of this is build the other Night's Watch build.
Right, you're definitely right. No other Night's Watch deck is really worth playing with this list. Like, Builders still is not good enough in this restricted list. Traditional wall defense decks are not good enough in this restricted list. Night's Watch Sea of Blood is laughable. Like, Rangers is laughable. With this restricted list. So you're just kind of, you want to play Night's Watch, you just kind of are stuck with Valyrian Steel.
Right. Or, I mean, I think Night's Watch both might be fine. There's another. So Wama's more or less convinced me that there should be another control deck. My big concern with other control decks is if Targ Sea of Blood's not gone, control can't exist because if they don't have Econ, they just die. And Targ Sea of Blood should be running enough to destroy any. And B, any control deck probably isn't as good as just Lani Shadows is going to be. So unless you're just looking to play something different, I think you're choosing to play a suboptimal deck. But if that's the case, then again, Night's Watch Valyrian Steel is just really well positioned. Like, if it gets set up, it's hard to beat sheer amount of draw. We saw Tomas top deck multiple times where he just top deck one of the two drop dude. You know his name?
Seasoned Woodman? Seasoned Woodman.
Look at that happen. All right, Seasoned Woodman, and then just drop three attachments on it and be like, look, I have eight cards now. Great, I'll figure it out. Because, like, three attachments on Seasoned Woodman is six cards, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's... There's nothing else in the game that does that. Pretty sure. No, there's nothing else in the game that does that.
That does that exact thing, no. But there's the other cards that provide as consistent card advantage, you know, like Womb of the World.
Dorn, Womb, yeah. It's just the one-shot nature, I think, is very different. Although, I guess Womb putting it into play, yeah, we can make that. It's amazing to me that Womb is a creature. I think Night's Watch, Valerian Steel is still a final. I think the top decks are more beautiful. I think they may have increased variants of them, but I don't think they're not the best deck. Also, I think Clytus should only, like, if they do pods, I think Clytus should only be restricted, I guess, unless you restrict Valerian Steel. I think you might have to restrict Valerian Steel, which we didn't do. I think it needs to be restricted. Because you need to say Clytus is only restricted with Valerian Steel. Otherwise, you're just killing other decks that aren't good enough to be killed.
I think Clytus getting soft. We've talked a lot about Clytus. I think both on this show and in the video you can watch on the White Book YouTube channel about our restricted list for the forthcoming event, Trial by Combat, which is on April 25th. People can play for charity. Clytus, I just don't think has good play patterns unless you're in a meta that is really degenerately gaining power, or not power, excuse me, getting gold in inappropriate phases. And the more you lower that, the more Clytus should be soft banned, because he's, you know, the trick of trading in the Pentoshi and Clytus is just gross. But that's just like the most obvious high playing gross. Like, Clytus leads to degenerate play patterns unless he's answering more degenerate play patterns. And if one of your goals is to lower some of the Night's Watch, Valerian Steel gaining gold in other phases, or Shadows decks gaining gold in other phases, like, the more that gets pushed out of the meta, the more Clytus becomes really obnoxious.
That's fair enough. Okay. What else was hit?
Yeah.
Oh, Bera.
Oh, wait, sorry.
No, I'm good with that analysis, I think. I already went round and round with you a little bit earlier, so I'll bide my time.
So
Baratheon, which I feel does nothing.
Bera is the one that I think does nothing. And then, like, four other bearer players, like Adam, are like, oh my god, it's dead. And Wama's like, it's dead. It can't possibly live. And then Andras is like, nah, man. And, like, I haven't talked to Hanno, but I don't think Hanno killed. Like, I haven't specifically spoken to Hanno about that deck, but I almost bet he just didn't kill his favorite deck. It's just, you have to be forced to, right? Like, no one wants to kill their favorite deck on purpose. Like, you just have to, like, really force to. And as this was already going light in the first place, it's easy to just let it go. I bet you this deck's just fine. Like, instead of running King Plot, which is definitely going to hurt it, I think King Plot is the big thing here. But instead of running King Plot, a lot of what it just does is run an extra big-ass gold plot. And then with that big ass gold plot, use that to dump all its attachments on its big call.
It can also run rationing.
Yeah.
As a similar, like, answer to things that are a problem for it. Mm-hmm. Like Martell triggers.
Double ration.
Yep. Martell triggers, Sea of Blood triggers. You know, like, it can work around those issues. Yeah, I think that what it did to me is, looking at this list, is it one made it more vulnerable to hate, which is good, by losing access to King of the North. And then made it maybe a turn slower. With the whether you keep Solis or don't keep Solis, you make it, I think, about a turn slower, which gives decks more time. But I don't think it really makes the deck any less linear or more, any more interactive, like fundamentally like interactive in a non-polarizing way. Like, I think Bera cohort either does its thing or doesn't do its thing. There are still very few games where it somewhat does its thing and both players hit back and forth about Bera trying to do its thing. I think you were still stuck with that like very polarized play pattern that I, one of the reasons why I really think that this deck is bad for the meta. And I don't think this list does a very good job of trying to rein that in. And I think there's a pretty decent good faith attempt to do it while still making the deck playable. So maybe it might be an open question about whether or not an attempt to do that makes the deck just unplayable, which could be true. And I won't shed any tears saying for it to just disappear. People like Andras, people like Hanno will. So, you know, there's some value of maybe trying this out. But I think that it just doesn't do enough that the cohort deck is still going to be fairly polarized. And when you're on the receiving end of Bear cohort, you're still going to be like, I didn't play Thrones. I sat here for an extra turn, but I still didn't play Thrones. Instead of losing on turn two, I lost on turn three. And then if you're a Bear cohort player and you lose, it's like, oh, I didn't play Thrones because I have 6 3-cost attachments and a Robert in my hand. And I can't, you know, do anything, you know, a Robert and a Stannis. And, you know, I got Valor turn one by a Tarxia blood player playing Womb. I can't do anything for the rest of the game. And so I didn't play Thrones. I just sat here for 8 plots while they gained enough power to beat me, but I didn't do anything. I
mean, isn't that kind of the nature of Rush decks in general and the kind of double-edged blade of trying to play something that linear? I mean, the old First Ed Bera Rush decks got the nickname of win by turn two or go home. And like, I don't remember the folks quite having that same sort of philosophical qualm about whether that style should exist or whether that style is good for the game. I mean, I think just slowing it down by a turn, give or take, is probably the right step for me.
So for me, if we want to use the first edition example, I would go with the Bera No Agenda deck that Bera settled on, which could play in multiple roles. And they had a rush role, but it had other roles. For me, I used to really enjoy playing Rush in first edition, but where I think it's best in second edition, where there's just way more renown and way more power grab through bigs, that I think is a worse play pattern than the first edition play pattern with Rush. Is I prefer Stark Crossing, or back in the day when, for example, Reinhardt won with One Worlds, like that style, where there were a couple of different game plans that deck could try to execute. And it wasn't always the same 1 to 2 cards with the 3-cost attachment on it. Like, And if you disrupted, if you were successfully disrupted the Targaryen player, they had other game plans they could try to execute. They weren't as good as their rush game plan, but they could be successful. Not this past Worlds, 2 Worlds ago, the deck that where Targ Crossing was as well, was in a similar spot, that there were multiple modalities it could play besides simply slapping one big, Voltrining it up, and being as linear as possible about it. And considering that this restricted list is full of cards that punish that kind of play style out of Tyrell, I don't quite understand why Bera has escaped somewhat the discouraging that play pattern.
I mean, even worse.
So,
like, Bera's theme in second edition wasn't supposed to be. Is that not notable? Is that not just?
Yeah, that was not one of their original goals. That was supposed to be Tyrell.
It was. I mean, Tyrell just got like Tyrell just eating the color pie, right? Like, now Bera has to eat Tyrell because there's genuinely, I don't think, enough mechanics for 8 factions.
I mean, but, I think
that's neither here nor there.
That's a whole different discussion.
That's very true. But
I mean, it's like, I just don't think it's debatable at this point, but either way, the deck is still just fine. It might win on turn four and not turn two, but I still don't think it's going to be interactive to that point. Especially because a lot of what could have stopped it would be things like Red Keep on a bodyguard. And that's no longer a thing. And like, I think that kind of give and take is kind of why you have to nerf these decks first. Because when you try and nerf them all equally, they were so far ahead of the curve, right? That I'm not sure much else gets to keep up. That Night's Watch Conclave game deck is basically gone, right? The Bratz deck, I think it's gone. Barra Conclave survives, but it was always a step behind these. Maybe that comes up to keep up. It's just...
It's a cool deck. Like I think I've said in every piece of content I made recently that if you like Barra cards, you should probably try the Barra Conclave deck.
I mean,
it's super fun.
So a lot of,
and very competitive.
A lot of what really kills me about this is a proper restricted list doesn't kill any of these factions. There's a way to kill any of these factions. So if you can get rid of Night's Watch Valerian Steel, there's like four or five other good Night's Watch decks, right? If you can get rid of Barra Kohor, there's still Maesters and Shadows and other Shadows and Sun and so on. And if you can get rid of Targ Sea of Blood, there's still like four burn decks and there's still Valerian Steel. All these other things still functionally exist without the one overpowered. You don't even have to kill, maybe not Lannister. Lannister's the iffy one. Lannister, I think, just needs new cards. They got such underpowered crap for such a long time that perhaps just without new cards, they're not going to. But I bet you could get 90% of the way there if you were very, very careful. It's just they, in keeping these decks relevant, what they did was functionally soft ban other non-related decks that aren't quite good even after this soft trick. There's one more card on the restricted list, unless I'm wrong, that we haven't touched on. Two more.
Yeah, two neutrals. Is that what we're basically looking at? Okay. Well, I'm kind of thinking. I know one of the neutrals.
Did we not? Do you want to? I talked return.
Oh, I guess I missed that in the Night's Watch discussion. But that was one of the ones I was thinking of. But I mean, it has some bearing on some of the other decks like Targ and such that you were talking about. But I think maybe let's hit the other cards that are on here because I'm thinking more about a lack of stuff that leads me to a question for after that. So let's tackle the other specific cards.
So bribery needed to be on there. I think you should probably throw a mercenary contract on there too to just kill that head. But I don't know if that's necessarily good enough without Yoren. We'll see if Night's Watch, Targaryen, Kohor, that's the name of that stupid agenda. If Targaryen Kohor ends up good because of this, at least the deck, fine, so be it. But bribery, sure. Sounds like a good hit.
Yeah. I mean, if they're doing that, like, that is that deck's shtick in a lot of ways. And I don't begrudge them having that shtick. It's the widespread thing. I'm glad to see go, so.
I think Pentos gives them potentially another shtick, especially if Pentos and Womb are unrestricted. I think there's a really cool potential aggro-ish cohort that no one's going to bother exploring. Because, again, why would you do that? The other Targ card hits Targ Kohor, which confuses me a little bit, but it doesn't hit Targ. It doesn't hit Targ Sea of Blood at all because King Plot was restricted. Hitting, what's the name of the card
gifts for the
widow. Hey, thank you. Hitting gifts for the widow to separate that card from basically Sea of Blood doesn't make sense to me because King Plot, like, it was only the only attachment, it was a one of that was getting one attachment. That was the King attachment to run with King Plot, but it already separated King Plot. That weakens Targ Valerian Steel, but that was already not as good as this other deck, and this list specifically didn't bother to hit any T2 decks. So, like, why is this the one T2 deck exception?
I mean, I occasionally saw it to go get crud. What's the Dothraki attachment that allows for the extra military challenge?
Yeah. We ran that. But, like, it's not... It wasn't in the world's list. Like, maybe it would have replaced it and gone in there, but I thought that wasn't the point, right? Like, nothing else in the restricted list reflects that philosophy of going after.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird bit player to be included compared to a lot of the other stuff being kind of a power play. This one is, I mean, it has its uses, right? It's very flexible, but this one is also one of the weirdest, like, soft bans compared to, like, a lot of these. I can see arguments for certain decks wanting to go ahead and pick these. Not so much here, right?
I don't. It's the card that I most wish we had a real philosophy explanation, because it genuinely feels like it belongs to the part of a different philosophy of restricted.
Yeah. That's fair.
Return, I guess?
Well, okay, so my thought with Return, which was sending me down this path more of a question of, like, lack, so to speak, right? Like, we sort of hit on Greyjoy in the context of what the restriction of Nighttime Marauders does to Shadows decks. But looking here at Return from the Fields, or sorry, to the Fields, has me thinking, is with some of these things shaking out like it looks like they may, you know, we're talking about potentially Stark seeing a bit of a resurgence up to that top level. But I'm curious about some of this more, you know, Greyjoy big dudes type stuff where they can really leverage their character beef. They can leverage the fact that they can make their characters so sticky to the board that strength had been kind of undercut in some ways by Return to the Fields. Like, even if specific characters weren't sticking to the board for other houses, they could at least make their board presence stick pretty well through the, you know, the replacement draw and income and that flexibility. I have to wonder if this particular list isn't going to be a boon to that more, dare I say, classic Greyjoy deck at this point.
Roy? Is Roy gone?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
I think this doesn't directly end, but I think every faction has a Valerian Steel deck. That's like relative. Valerian Steel. I've moved officially to Valerian Steel just, which sucks, wow, as it's my favorite.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But I think Valerian Steel. Every faction has a really good Valerian Steel. The sheer card advantage it gives is a lot. There's enough ways to stack in, I think, every faction, enough zero cost attachments, and I think every faction, that it should probably just go, and then it is the ultimate card that you do pod restrictions for.
I mean, I could see that if they go that way, but I don't want pods.
I feel like I want pods. We talked about pods the last
right
episode that we did, yep. So I'm not really interested in rehashing those arguments. But I do agree with you that I think every deck has an acceptable Valyrian Steel deck. One of the problems with the current meta, though, is that some factions, Valyrian Steel is their only good deck. Yeah, that would be my main takeaway. Like, but I mean, problematic agendas that the Conclave should keep an eye on going forward is Kohor. Barra Kohor shows that the more linearly Kohor can be used, the more degenerate it is. Like, I think Kohor is a super cool, well-designed agenda when it plays like the old school Wama, Derek, Bryn style Stark Kohor that uses Kohor to interact with your opponent. You know, put a milk here, remove the milk, put a different one there, put, you know, move a ward from this character to this character. You're like moving game pieces around. You're doing lots of like Colt style, whoever you want to credit. I'm willing to give anybody credit. You're moving game pieces around. You're interacting with your opponent. That's like really cool gameplay. I think that Barra Kohor, it's not just Barra Kohor that can do that. There's Targ Kohor decks. There's that are definitely somewhat similar. That are all about very linear. You know, I get a Kohor trigger and the game just snowballs from there. Like one Kohor trigger and you can just snowball the entire game, not by interacting with your opponent, but just simply moving one game piece from my card to a different one of my cards. I think that's really dangerous and
boring.
It's boring. Yes, it's boring. It's uninteractive because Kohor triggers are very difficult to stop because it's just winning a challenge on attack, to be fair. But that's something that the Conclave should definitely keep an eye on, particularly if they want to continue to explore aggressive attachment design space.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that we learned through many years that card advantage, most generally draw agendas. Wow. Turning British here.
Genders. Yeah. Get them agendas.
Either British or very backwoods Ozark. It's amazing where the overlaps lay. Anyway, those sort of card advantage, normally draw agendas, are most likely to be problematic. Turns out, giving us search agendas also becomes wildly problematic in application. So, cool.
Very fair.
All right. Let's do top five decks after the restricted list. You guys need time to think on that?
Well, I only have to think about one deck, because the top four are Barra Kohor, Night's Watch Valyrian Steel, Targ Sea of Blood, Lannister Kingdom of Shadows. So I got to think of a fifth deck.
Stark Fealty.
I think I'd go
Stark Fealty. Sure, Stark. Maybe Stark Crossing.
I think Fealty is likely better. I think Fat Cat Fealty is a little better because
probably it's a cool deck. Like I just it's resilient. So, and it wasn't hit at all except Return to the Fields.
Right? King Plot sometimes, but yeah, Return is the big one.
Yeah, King Plot wasn't running King Plot.
It just kind of runs up an extra air and falls it today.
Yeah, an extra air or. There's a bunch of different plots that it could possibly explore. But I do think it slows it down, right? Particularly the Fat Cat version. It may make Fat Cat a little less desirable without access to Return. So, because Return just made, you know, it was just another tool to win in the challenges phase. The challenges phase. The plot phase. And you won't have that. So... maybe Fat Cat's a little less desirable. If Targ Sea of Blood remains neutral, hey, maybe instead of going on over the top on a power level of Targ Sea of Blood, maybe four cost Catelyn is a good space to be in. I don't know.
So, Will, do you have the same basic answer?
Same basically, but I think my dark horse is going to be, like I said, for some kind of Greyjoy making a return, some Greyjoy bigs.
Yeah.
Greyjoy Valyrian Seal is great. And if they allow a Luffy at any point.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not sold on which agenda Valyrian Steel sounds reasonable. Yeah, if a Luff is allowed, I mean, 1,000% yes to that.
So, I mean, it better be restricted immediately.
It would probably have to be with the way the cost curve in Second Ed is set up. I mean, I'm not even sure it's just Greyjoy that busts that.
My sleeper deck, I think, is Barra Assault. Barra Assault is entirely untouched and phenomenal, and there's like it takes real skill to play. So no one bothered with it because Cohort, no offense to like Hano, who obviously is an unbelievably skilled player, or like Andras, who is also an unbelievably skilled player, is just like extraordinarily linear, as Roy has argued. I think Barra Assault is as good as any of it. And if Targ Sea of Blood actually takes a backseat at all, because Targ Sea of Blood blowing up Takami is real bad, I feel so bad for Jesus that he made his agenda. They were like, here's a real drawback. And then they were like, well, let's do one without any real drawback.
Yeah.
Immediately after. But yeah, that was very sad. But like that deck is fantastic, and if control takes a real step upward, I think that deck is going to be absolutely great.
Well, I mean, it sounds like we have a little bit to watch for to see what shakes out at what the bottom end of the top end. Sounds weird to say.
I'm going to be honest, after Roy's birthday tournament, I'm going to just wait for the next restricted list, I think. I think that'll be the end of me paying attention to Thrones until they do something. Like, if I'm totally wrong and, like, someone messages me and tells me, I will happily look back in and tell everyone I'm wrong. I am often wrong. It won't be the first time, it won't be the last. But I'm, as my expectations are, and I've spent an awful lot of time talking about this game, that'll like I don't want to watch the same decks that I commented on at Worlds be really good again.
Well,
fair.
Yeah, I guess we will see where it goes.
Extra restricted list is going to be awesome. I have full faith.
All right.
Yep. How do we end episodes when we?
I know, right? I was just sitting here thinking about it. I was just that's
an episode. I would like to talk about something for a second. I just like to remind people that Trial by Combat 2 will be hosted on the Iron Throne on April 25th, 2020. It is my birthday. It's my 35th birthday. We will be doing all day coverage of the event at twitch.tv/faux intel. I believe Glazer is joining me. We are not using the Conclave restricted list. If you go to the event on Facebook, you will see we are sticking with the original restricted list that Glazer and I designed based on feedback that we received from players and to maintain consistency with what we announced and promoted. But also because I'm really passionate about getting the at the very least, the bin pack agendas to see competitive play. And, you know, I want this tournament to have the bin pack agendas, and to follow the Conclave restricted list would be to make those cards illegal. So we will be playing with the custom restricted list that Glazer worked on with me. And so if you can, please come out to the Iron Throne and play some games for charity. It's just $10. 100% of all proceeds will be going to the charity of the top finishing player's choice. It should be really exciting, really fun. We'll, again, providing all-day coverage, all for charity. It should be a good time. I also want to say, though, that all future NECT events will be using the Conclave restricted list. So starting in May, all Northeast Championship Tour events, either whether they're online or if social distancing has been lifted in person, we'll be using those nice. Conclave restricted lists. So,
say what you will about the specific list or not, I do at least like that we're going to, I hope, be able to get everybody back on one page, because I think that will be more productive for the community as a whole. So, cool.